Let me read the word from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 45, from verse 18. Isaiah 45, from verse 18. For thus saith the Lord, that created the heavens, God himself, that formed the earth and made it. He has established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I have not spoken in secret, in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge, that set up the wood of their graven image, and pray unto a God that cannot save. Tell ye, and bring them near, yea, let them take counsel together. Who has declared this from ancient time? Who has told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me. A just God and a Savior, there is none beside me. Turn unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. Surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. Even to him shall men come, and all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified, and shall glory. Here is a wonderful and precious word that was left to us. And I think we cannot but bring worship and praise to our Lord. For we know it was He indeed who founded the heavens and the earth. It was He who brought all life into existence. He is the Lord of all. He is even more. He is the Savior of all creation. And that is why we come to Him. We do not need to worship an idol that is carved out of wood or made out of any metal. But we come to the living God, to the true One, to the One who created the universe, and He also appointed us to His name's glory. Perhaps people may not bow their knees to Him today, but the hour is coming when they will want to do so, and then it will be too late. But they will have to realize that there is a just and true God. But we as believers, we don't have to wait for that, until that hour. But we can say right now, He has redeemed us. He has brought us together. And so we have come here, as it says here in verse 20, Assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations. And I want to say, we are the ones who have escaped by the grace of God. And we are to draw near and approach Him. And we can say, He has given us grace and understanding of everything, especially His precious and holy word. It says here, they have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save. Oh, how wonderful it is that we can or may pray to a God who does help. And I want to say, we can all say, He has already helped us. And we can say, He will continue to help us. And for that, we are so happy and so grateful also tonight that we are allowed to step up and draw near. Yes, He says, tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who has declared this from ancient time? Who has told it from that time? Had it not been the Lord who revealed all mysteries? Yes, from the beginning, we can indeed say, it was He who spoke to the forefathers, to our brothers in the faith, to those who placed their hope in Him. And we can say, dear brothers and sisters, in these days He spoke to us, to you and to me, and to all of us. And we can say that He had mercy on us and thought of us, even though we were not worthy, even though we may have run out of His way, but He sought us out. He sought you out. He sought me out. And all at once, we heard His voice and were allowed to come to Him. And we are so grateful tonight. I don't know about you, but I'm happy that you have all come again. You know, we belong together. We are children of God. When you look into the world and when you see the things that are developing in the whole history of the world, whether in the religious area or in the other part, then we can only say, indeed, everything has come near. The end of all things have come near. And so, let us find ourselves before Him, even tonight, to hear what He has to say to us. For He always has something to say to us, through His precious and holy word. Not by things of our own making, not by things of our own devising, but He speaks to us through His word. And we know His word does not lie. Heaven and earth will pass away, but His word endureth forever. And that is why we are so glad and so grateful that we are strengthened again by the word of our God. Yes, He has saved us. He has set us free. I have sworn by myself, and the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return. There we have it. That's it. It came out of His mouth. And I believe that if a man had wanted to say these words, he would not have been able to say them. But it was through the Holy Spirit that this man of God was able to express these words many hundreds of years in advance. And it was already established here that salvation would also be there for the Gentiles. But who understood it? Maybe not even the prophet. We don't know, but it could well be. But look, the time has come for everything, and we see His word is right. What He said has come to pass, and the last thing is yet to be fulfilled. For that we are so glad and so thankful. I think we have much reason to thank and praise our God tonight and to give Him the glory. Let us do that now by standing up and praying together. Heavenly Father, we thank You with all our hearts that You have given us grace again, that we may be gathered here again this day under the sound of Your word. Lord, we come just as we are, O Lord. You know our hearts. You know our longings. You know our yearnings, O Savior. You know what we need, even this evening and this day. O Lord, Savior, we look up to You, O Lord, and ask You from the bottom of our hearts, make us worthy, O Lord, to receive Your word, which You will continue to speak to us, O Lord. We ask You from the bottom of our hearts, make us worthy to read Your word. Make us worthy to say about Your word what is to be said. Make us worthy to receive it and believe it with all our hearts. Faithful Savior, take away all unbelief. Take away from among us, O Savior, all that is not pleasing to Thee, O Lord. We ask You, may everything be under Your blood. In this hour, may everything be buried under Your cross, O Lord, that we may come to You with sincere hearts, Lord, that You may speak to us in this way, and that our hearts may be seized by Your Holy Spirit. Baptize You, Lord, with spirit and fire. May Your glorious and powerful presence come upon us all. Lord, let us not just sit here as if You had not spoken, but may our hearts be gladdened in Your presence. May we be refreshed, O Lord. For this purpose we have hastened here together. Please, Savior, have mercy on us. Bless the brethren. Bless all who have come, even those who could not come. Faithful God, have mercy on all and be with all, O Lord. Savior, also all who misunderstand us or despise us, O Lord, we lay them all down unto Thee, O Lord. May You, Lord, touch them all and have mercy on them all and be with them, O Lord. We ask all this in Your wonderful and precious name. Lord Jesus, let Your word continue to reach us now, Lord, and let our hearts be penetrated with Your glory. Lord, we worship You and praise Your glorious name. Receive the worship, receive the praise and the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I have not calculated this time at all. I wanted to sit and listen. You can't just hand out. You also have to collect. And you can do that best if you listen well. If you listen well, you can gather precious manna, not just for one day, but for several days, weeks, and months. We have heard a glorious word from Isaiah 45, and the question always arises whether God's word really goes to our hearts, whether it is so fresh, so alive, such a reality as it was in the hour when the prophets received it, spoke it, were moved, overwhelmed, blessed as they spoke all these things. How much more shall we be blessed who experience all that they spoke prophesied, talked about. If already the prophets were blessed in receiving the word, in reproducing the word that was in the distant future in their time, how much more should we be blessed who live in a time where God has not spoken for the distant future, but what He spoke before times, He has brought to fulfillment in our days. And there should be, as it says in Luke 24, you all know it by heart, did not our hearts burn when He talked with us on the road? What was He talking about? About the fulfillment of all that Moses, the prophets, and what was written in the Psalms. In the time of the fulfillment of the word, there is a burning in our hearts, just as it was when these men of God received the word. I underlined some things right away, including verse 17, because we started from verse 18. But Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. Ye shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God Himself, that formed the earth and made it. He has established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. Whoever reads Genesis 1:1 knows, and the earth was without form and void. But here it says, God created it not in vain. He did not make it a desert. Not that it should be without form and without life and uninhabited, but what it once was, it is no longer. All the seed, and this Brother Branham emphasizes so wonderfully, he says, God did not scatter the seed after He had said, let there be light, and there was light, and the waters might go to their place. He says, no. The seed was already there, but it came forth through the light. It has a way of coming forth, springing up, growing, flourishing, multiplying, bearing fruit. It was the same in your life and in mine. Everything was void and empty, but the seed of God was there somewhere. We were the seed of God and will be for eternity. And Brother Branham also says that very clearly. And Matthew 13 also says it. Sometimes when we say Brother Branham said it, we just want to emphasize that he spoke what the Bible already teaches very clearly and plainly. But we, our lives, were void and without form, without life, without meaning, without value, without purpose. And the Lord said, let there be light, and there was light. And suddenly the seed sprang up. God did it in your life and in mine. He did not create man to go by himself and the earth to be left to itself. No. He spoke into the deep, and what He said came to pass. He is the Creator. His word is an omnipotent word, a commanding word, and so all things must come to pass according to His word. It is I who formed and made the earth. He has established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. What a wonderful word. Think about it. The earth was without form and void. Water flooded everything. But the Spirit of God hovered over the deep. The Spirit of God hovered over the deep, because under that water level was soil. In the soil was seed. And the Spirit of God hovered, and the Lord God spoke, and it happened. The Spirit of God has been hovering over this earth, especially since Pentecost. And through the Word of God, the good news is proclaimed again and again, and the seed that is on earth comes forth. It is brought to life. It springs up. It grows and flourishes. Then it goes on to say, I am the Lord, and there is none else. I have not spoken in secret, in a dark place of the earth. This is also completely true. Even though God may have spoken somewhere, it has nevertheless become known throughout the earth. What God did in the upper room in Jerusalem became known throughout the world. What happened in Bethlehem in a remote place and stable has become known throughout the world. What God spoke to Abraham in Ur in Chaldea across the river Euphrates became known throughout the world. Even if God spoke something in the remotest corner, His people have knowledge of it. His people learn about it, hear about it, believe it with all their hearts. Isn't it wonderful that we can believe? We believe what God told Moses. We believe what He said to Abraham. We believe what He said to Isaac and promised to Jacob. We believe everything. That is a grace. Incomprehensible. We weren't even there. The people of today say, you are a one. Right? You don't even know if it's all true. We know it is true. What people talk about is nothing anyway. But what God has spoken is truth for all eternity. And Brother Branham always explains that so beautifully. I am so overwhelmed by the sermons lately, as never before. I have to say that between us here, I have sometimes thought that Brother Branham, as such a simple man, has brought things in simplicity, and many stumble over it. But in that simplicity, there is such a depth, it is incomprehensible. I think we are not yet simple enough to grasp these depths that lie hidden there. For it is precisely in simplicity that the great emerges. If someone is something great and then brings something great, well, that's something great twice. But if someone is nothing and something powerful comes forth, then you know exactly, it doesn't come from the man. Man is only a channel, only a vessel. And the songwriter sings, only vessels, holy master, yet filled with your power. Let life flow through us, life that your Spirit works in us. Not in secret have I spoken. Let us come to our time. And if I mention Brother Branham now and then, don't be angry with me. But who among us was there when this man was born in the mountains of Kentucky, in a log cabin, a hut that consisted of one room with a little hallway, And the snow was blowing back and forth like this through the cracks and through the building. And the pillar of fire hang over his head after he was born. The whole world has known about it. The whole religious world knows about it. And you all know I'm a person who likes to follow up things. When Brother Branham said on a tape, this picture is in Washington and it's under a copyright there, it took me almost a whole day to find it in Washington. I did find it. I didn't give up until I saw it with my own eyes in Washington. I'm just a person who follows up things without sounding a trumpet about it. But I didn't let that stop me. I thought, if I'm going to write about it, if I'm going to report it, I have to be certain that it's real. I believed it, but I also wanted to know. I'm like that Thomas sometimes. I also have to put my hand on it and feel it. And then it gets a little better. How wonderful that God also allows the things that have happened in secret to come out into the open and be known. And that is why it says here, not in secret have I spoken. What God speaks does not remain hidden. It is always revealed. What God does is also not hidden. It is always manifested. I'm sure we will get to John chapter 4, but here it is written in verse 21, tell ye and bring them near, yea, let them take counsel together. Who has declared this from ancient time? Who has told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Turn unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. Salvation comes from the Lord our God. And because He is an eternal God, that's why verse 17 says, it's an everlasting salvation, a salvation for eternity, not just for time, but for eternity. And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. The word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return. It is unbreakable. The scripture cannot be broken. Our Lord Himself has said so. And here it is, a word that cannot be broken. The scripture cannot be broken. It comes to pass. And if we believe, it will be fulfilled in us, in you and in me, in your life and in mine. God has sworn by Himself and has spoken, and His word is an unbreakable word. Everything He said is yes and amen. Now comes this verse or statement, that unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. Even to Him shall men come, and all that are incensed against Him shall be ashamed. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory. I want you to pay attention to this. You all know, we went through a lot doctrinally years ago, more than we have in recent times. But notice, where it says God, that's where God belongs. And where it says Lord, that's where Lord belongs. And it can't be changed. It has to stay that way. Now it says here, that unto me every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess. In the Lord alone, they will confess, I have full righteousness and strength. Here it is said by the Lord. If we open Philippians chapter 2 to this, you will see why right away. Because God in the Old Testament is the Father in the New. The Lord of the Old is the Son in the New. Here, Philippians chapter 2, here it is written from verse 7, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That is a wonderful word. In the Old Testament, the Lord says, before me every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. And in the New, we hear, every tongue will confess, every knee will bow. All of those who are in heaven, on earth and under the earth, to the glory of God the Father, they will have to confess it, that in Jesus Christ alone is salvation, forgiveness, and all that we need. Now, here in the prophetic word, it is still said, namely in the further part, even to him shall men come, and all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified, and shall glory. Some who have been hostile will come to their senses. And basically, the enmity has been set up, and God loved us when we were still his enemies, but has loved us out and made us friends. In him is righteousness and salvation. Every tongue will confess, and every knee will bow and pronounce, in the Lord alone, people will confess, I have full righteousness and strength. We already confess this today. In the Lord alone, we have full justification, full salvation, full grace, in him alone. And this can make the heart of one heavy laden glad and thankful when we reflect on it. Not in secret have I spoken. And then he says, tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who has declared this from ancient time? Who has told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me. A just God and a Savior, there is none beside me. Turn unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. We know that God is spirit in his nature, and that he already revealed himself in the Old Testament as the Lord, as the visible one. And so we find it also in the New Testament. The Bible says, no man has seen God at any time, but he has revealed himself in Jesus Christ. And therefore the Lord said, he who sees me sees the Father. It is and remains a mystery that no man can explain or fathom, but which we may believe, and thereby we are saved. Not whoever can fathom it, not whoever can explain it, but whoever believes will be saved. And faith is a gift from God. How can we understand it at all when it is written in Hebrews 11 that God called the world into existence out of nothing? We as human beings, we say nothing comes from nothing. We always have to have something from which we can then make something again. God needed nothing and made everything out of it. Our God, you know, if we become such nothing, then God can make many things out of us. Really, such a nothing. For it is written, by faith we know that God called the world into existence out of nothing. By faith we realize that we are nothing, but that God has made us sons and daughters of God, even for the glory of his holy name alone. Now we have read of this glorious name of Jesus, in which every knee will bow and every tongue confess. This name, after all, is described not only in the Gospels, but then in its power and significance in the book of Acts. And if you read the first chapters of the book of Acts, the emphasis is placed on this name. John and Peter go to worship in the temple. Of course, it was Peter, but John would have said the same thing. Peter, here, in chapter 3, Acts chapter 3, then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Here we encounter the power of the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. One can speak about this power. One can also experience it. And we want to come to this experience of the power of God. Just as the Lord has revealed himself to us, and the veil has been taken off us, and we recognize him as the one who is, and who was, and who is to come. So we would like to exclaim with Paul, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and partake in his sufferings. You all know, chapter 3 and 4 in the book of Acts deal with what happened to this man who was healed. And the apostles are called to account. And the question is put to them in chapter 4. After this man was presented to the high priest, Annas and Caiaphas, and all of them had gathered together. And then it says here, in verse 7, and when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have ye done this? First of all, there are two things at issue here. By what power? They knew that power was necessary to perform this miracle of mighty healing. And they knew that this power was beyond their power. But they didn't yet know what to do with it or what they could do with it. And now they ask, by what power and by what name did you perform this? And after that, there's a very glorious verse. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, oh, that it might be given to me and to us, who minister the word of God, before we open our mouths, before we speak, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, that God may speak through us. Otherwise, there's no point at all. We have enough human talk when we don't come to the service. But when we come to the service, and it's about the cause of God, we want to hear God speak. Before we can hear that, we have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, we all might say, yes, wait a minute. Surely he was among the 120 who were filled with the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. Yes, he was among the 120, but he was filled with the Holy Spirit over and over again. You all know, that's the secret. Not just to have been filled once, but to bear witness to what God has done on every occasion that God gives us. We have to be filled anew with the Holy Spirit so that the testimony has a penetrating power. Otherwise, we speak in human evidence and the others go away, having heard much, but having taken nothing with them. Here, it says, then Peter was filled with the Holy Ghost and said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to a sick man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you know, if Peter had not been filled with the Holy Spirit, it would certainly have taken him a long time to get to the point. But when the Holy Spirit is there, you get to the point immediately, and you don't take many detours, but you go straight to the point you need to go to. And so it was here with Peter. In the power of the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified. Oh, what courage! There he is before the high council, thrown into prison. Everything was there. And he has the courage. He says, full of the Holy Spirit, full of truth. Only people who are full of the Holy Spirit can speak the full truth in front of friend and foe on every occasion, appropriate or not, all others will somehow want to find a way around it and find shortcuts. But when the Holy Spirit takes over, you get there. Then you don't miss the point, because you don't speak yourself, but it is the Spirit of God who can speak not only to us, but through us. And it says here, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. What a powerful testimony. He accuses them of crucifying Jesus, but he exalts the name of Jesus, saying, him whom you crucified, God raised from the dead. And here, by him, by his power, by his name, such a miracle has happened. Now, the mystery in this story is that the witness stood there as a direct testimony. It was not a thing that was talked about, but the thing itself stood there. The man in whom God had glorified himself was standing there. And therefore, by the Holy Spirit, this man could say here, yes, by whose name the man stands here healthy before you. The man stood there as a living testimony of the power of God manifested in him. And then it is easy to give a testimony when the thing you are talking about is tangibly near, when it is visible, when you can touch it, when you can see it, then it is easy to give a testimony. And that is basically the overall character of the book of Acts. It is not a book of theory, but of practice. What was given to the church after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and what was given to the church, what she was appointed to do, what belonged to her area of responsibility, all this has already been described here in these chapters. Even by this name does this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders. What a courage. Here he does not say, the stone rejected by the builders. Then he would have bypassed them. Then he would not have had a personal speech for them at all. But now he was standing before the builders. He was not standing before the people. He had to address those before whom he stood. And that's where he uses the word, this Jesus is the stone rejected by you builders. Yes, imagine this. This word you. Yes, the Savior asked the question, what does the word mean? The stone which the builders rejected, it has become the cornerstone. Later, Peter writes about it in his letter. But here, full of the Holy Spirit, he gave the bull's eye to those who stood before him. Fearlessly he stood there, because he was full of the Holy Spirit, and said, this Jesus is the stone rejected by you builders. Yes, how must they have felt then? This fisherman, you will hear what they say of him in a moment. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, For there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Is this not a wonderful word? A testimony of the presence of God, of the power, of the name of Jesus Christ. For here is the question: by what power or by what name have ye done this? That is the question. By whose power? By whose name? By the power of Him whose name is like Himself. Wonderful, Counsel, Power, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. By that power, the miracle of healing was done. And Peter did not stammer when he brought this, for he was full of the Holy Spirit, and with final assurance and final authority, he was able to say all these things and bears witness. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby they can be saved, than only this name, Jesus Christ. A wonderful testimony. I wish that these days would be used for this, and that the Lord would bless these days, that we would all come into His presence and become full of His Holy Spirit, so that what happened in the book of Acts could happen again. Without that power, it cannot and will not work. It takes the power of God for the name of Jesus to be glorified. Then from verse 13 it says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." Here again are two wonderful testimonies given to these two men of God. On the one hand, they were astonished that now the great thing had happened through small, simple people without schooling and without education. And secondly, they recognized that they were in the company of Jesus, that they had been disciples of Jesus. So they were not just talking about Jesus, but these men recognized that they were among those who called Jesus, who walked with Jesus, who were with Him. They recognized that. Yes, that's the second thing. Do people recognize that we walk with Jesus? You know, all these things are written for us to think about, that they speak to us, that they go to our hearts, and that we put ourselves in the position of these men of God, or the situation that we are now reading about here. They saw the boldness of Peter and John. These two men of God were full of joy, full of thankfulness in their hearts for what had happened. And certainly they rejoiced that they were allowed to testify before the elders, before the high council, and to say what God had just put into their mouths in that hour, in these minutes, and what they had to say. But this boldness, this joyful confidence, when they saw the joyful confidence of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Yes, these are all thoughts that we cannot pass over too quickly. The moment God does something, joy enters our hearts. Certainty of faith is increased. Our testimony receives the necessary emphasis and the force of impact through what God does. And everything that God does is done through the power of the name of Jesus Christ. Because in this name and in Jesus Christ, God has revealed Himself on this earth. He is Emmanuel, God with us. So there is power of God in the name of Jesus. And the power of God is unlimited. Only our unbelief is a foolish thing that paralyzes us. Otherwise, we could soar like an eagle and fly to the skies. If we could believe, we would behold the glory of God. And if we believe, as the scripture has said, rivers of living water must flow from our bodies. And a river flows. You know, it has a source somewhere. And Jesus says in John 7, the water that I shall give shall be in you a well of water springing up into everlasting life. A spring that overflows, that no one can block. And then, I think there's another glorious verse here. Just a moment. Verse 14. And beholding the man which was healed, standing with them, they could say nothing against it. The testimony itself stood beside those who bore witness. And there was nothing more to be done. They couldn't say, listen here, man, we want to talk to these two now, but we don't want to see you here. The man was so attached to these two, they couldn't get rid of him. He belonged to them because God had added him. God had revealed Himself to him and glorified Himself in him. He knew where he belonged. He belonged to those who were on God's side. And on that side, he placed himself. He was not on the side of the priests and the high council. He was not there. I have been reading the sad story these days in the Gospel of John, chapter 18, where it says, when the Lord Jesus went to Gethsemane, and Judas was with those who came to take Jesus captive. He was no longer with the disciples of Jesus. He was with those who had come to take him captive. Oh, that went very deep into my heart. 3.5 years walking with the Lord, and suddenly, on the opposite side, on the side of the enemies, and comes there to the place that was well known to him. Anyone who reads this, his heart is torn. There's no other way. But here, this man, he stood with those to whom God had stood and through whom God had spoken and worked. And these men of the high council could not say much, because this man who had been healed stood with them. They knew nothing more to say in reply. How long do you think they would have argued? But every argument was superfluous, because there stood the man, and not the arguments. There stood the man in whom God had glorified himself. And that testimony would have crushed all their arguments to the ground. And that's why they didn't start at all. They just asked, by what power, by what name? They knew it had happened. They just wanted to know how it had happened. And this man was now standing there. Then it goes on to say, but when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle has been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem. What a testimony these opponents had to bear, that God had done something extraordinary. And then it says, and we cannot deny it. They could argue, but they could not dispute anything at all, because the man was standing there. And they have to admit and say, we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. Yes, they wanted to prevent it from being known any further in Jerusalem. They have not been able to prevent it from becoming known throughout the world. What have we read in the prophet Isaiah? Not in secret have I spoken. Not in secret has God worked. God has worked publicly and spoken publicly, and the whole world has heard about it. And you and I have not only heard about it, we ourselves have experienced his mighty work in spirit, soul, and body. And that is the greatest thing of all. We can look at and hear a lot, but we also want to experience it. And by the grace of God, we have been able to experience it in many ways. And so they have not been able to prevent anything. They were not even able to prevent what they spoke in their secret council meeting from being revealed to the apostles by the Spirit and from being written down in the Bible. They could not prevent anything at all. But without wanting to, they gave weight to the testimony of God and had to confess that we cannot deny that a miracle was performed on him, but we want to prevent it from somehow becoming more widely known. And so we want to command that in the future these people should not mention the name of Jesus. And then it says here, after this council meeting, and they called them. I don't think that Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, that he put his ear to the keyhole there to hear what the high council decided there. No, he sat there, like all the prophets and men of God, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And then it says here, and they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. Is this not a wonderful thing? They didn't start with arguments and say, listen here, dear sirs, aren't we citizens too and have a right? Away with all right and citizenship. God's Spirit spoke through them. Judge for yourselves whether it is right in the sight of God to obey you more than God. After all, they were not on behalf of the religious community of that time, but on behalf of God. And God commissioned them. And here is the statement, judge for yourselves whether it is right in the sight of God to obey you more than God. For our part, we cannot possibly refrain from speaking of what we have seen and heard. That's it. And I think that is also what moves us these days. We have seen, we have heard. These words almost sound like John, because he writes, what we have heard, what we have seen, what our hands have handled of the word of life, this we declare to you. It almost sounds as if here, but no matter, it was the Holy Spirit anyway. Whatever mouth opened there, and whatever lips moved, it was the Holy Spirit speaking through these men of God. And it says, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old, on whom this miracle of healing was showed. Known throughout the city. This is how God spoke in the book of Acts. This is how he worked. If he is the same today, we cannot be satisfied with just hearing about what he did then or in our generation through the ministry of Brother Branham, nor even with what he did 10 or 15 or 3 years ago. On the contrary, we should take courage and trust our God that he is truly the same, and that the power of God, the power of the name of Jesus Christ, is still performing miracles of creation, of healing, of salvation, of deliverance today, after spirit, soul, and body. For Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. We have much reason to thank and worship God. Let us rise up to do so. We thank you with all our hearts that you have made us worthy for this evening hour, that we have been allowed to hear your word and believe it. And it is our desire, Lord. May you move your strong arm. Lord, would you prove thyself to be the same, for thou art still the same. Make thyself known mightily, O Lord, This is not just my pious wish. It is my fervent desire that your holy name may be glorified, thereby, Lord. Praise and glory and worship be to you. Not we, Lord. No, it is not for us that glory is due. To your name, Lord, all honor is due. And your name shall be glorified thereby. For these men also, Lord, have glorified your name thereby. And they could say, in the name of the Lord, whom you crucified, by that name this miracle was done. O Lord, may it happen in our midst, O God, in our lives, in our surroundings, Lord. This is our desire and our prayer. Hallelujah. Thanks be to you for your precious and holy word. Strengthen my brother, Lord. Give him new strength. Give him new courage. And to us, O Lord, that when we shall be a witness, Lord, may your Holy Spirit then come upon us, as he came upon Peter, Lord. Thanks be to you, Lord, for your precious and holy word. Thou hast so wonderfully quickened us. Glory and praise be to you. Continue to be with us, Lord, even in the days and hours to come, Lord. Bless all our brothers and sisters who have come, Lord. Thanks be to you for everything. In Jesus' name, amen.